Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come.
And welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast and another 2021 Rookie Profile. I'm Mike Fanero, and this is the last week for our Rookie Profile series. So if you missed one of the 32 profiles we put out there, they're just one quick selection away on your feed. Easy to find, easy to listen to. Most are just 30 minutes and packed with the information for your upcoming Dynasty Rookie Drafts. I'm here with the Diva of Devi, Katie Flower from the Under the Helmet podcast. Katie, the NFL Draft is this week. Are you excited?
I am excited. You can see from my background, I've got my New England Patriots NFL Draft screen up, and I still need to download my Dallas Cowboys one so that I've got it for our, we're doing two full nights of live draft for Under the Helmet on Thursday and Friday, just as usual. It's going to be a marathon as usual, 5 hours Thursday, 5 hours on Friday, or whatever it, you know, 4+ hours. And it's always a lot of fun. I am very excited.
I'm excited too. That is something you guys do every year. And it's a lot of fun to listen to, get your live reaction. So yeah, I can tell you're excited. Your background, which none of our listeners can see, is very pro ready. I love it. It looks very cool. You look straight out of NFL film. So very cool. Very nice work. Katie, are you ready to get into this?
Absolutely. I cannot wait. And I'm very honored to be your first analyst that came in, and I did Chuba Hubbard to start with.
Yes.
And now I am the last, and I get to do Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
So I'm very honored to be Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.
And rightfully so. I thought of you immediately at the beginning of this, and we all thought of you absolutely at the end of this. And thank you so much for helping us do this one. I gave you a short list of available players, that maybe like 8 to 10. After doing 31 of these, you're the 32nd, and as you said, you know, covering Chuba was our very first one together, and here we are with Kadarius Toney for this week's player profile. Why did you choose Kadarius?
I chose him, and again, this is, of all the ones that were on the list, he's somebody that has been bantied about as a potential first-round NFL, so how can you leave him off the list? He has to be profiled. The good, the bad, the ugly. And I've always said, anybody that's listened over the past few months, that Kadarius Toney is going to be a trap. If he does go in the first round of the NFL draft, I firmly believe that in your rookie drafts, he is a trap. Unless you can get him late in the second, early in the third in a super flex, and then mid-second or so if it's a non-super flex league. And that doesn't sound realistic to me. I think he's going to go a lot higher. In the mock drafts that you and I do, and we've done a lot of them together, he's going late first, early second, and sometimes early second, even in Superflex, which to me, that is a steep price for what you potentially will be getting.
And all before, like you said, a confirmation of him being a possible first round talent in the NFL. I mean, when that confirmation comes through, you're going to see him creep up even beyond those mocks. And I agree. That was, you know, that it's, I'm going to skip right down to talking about that. So for me, is there a place where you are comfortable? Like DLF, ADP right now, I'll give you ADP reaction, is 21. So we got late second. And he's coming off the board at wide receiver 10. Now, this is also before Thursday night or Friday, depending if he goes into the second. Is that a comfortable space, or is that still making you uneasy?
I've got him as, you know, in the wide receiver 12, 13 range. So that's not super bad if that stays. I think that if he goes in round one of the NFL, and especially, can you imagine if he goes to the Saints or the Green Bay Packers, where his stock will rise? He will be mid first, like, depending on who else goes where else, he could easily be in that mid to late first conversation. And that, to me, is too steep for, I call him a gimmick type player. He's a gadget type player. He's going to be more helpful and useful, I believe, to his NFL roster than he will be to your fantasy roster. And here's what I look at. Let's break him down. He's 22 years old. He just turned 22 in January. He didn't break out at Florida until his senior season. And he had 984 yards. He was a wide receiver slash running back, a utility guy his first 3 years. But even as a utility guy, he didn't break out. He had 152 yards receiving as a freshman, 260 as a sophomore, 194 as a junior. And the rushing yards for a guy that was supposed to be a running back, he had 120, 240, and 59, you know, respectively. In his final season, as I mentioned, he had 984 wide receiving yards and 161 rushing yards. The caveat, or the good sign for a NFL team, is that he also can kick return and punt return. However, as a kick returner, in 4 years, four full years, Mike, 4 years, 324 kick return yards and 147 punt return yards. Jalen Waddle, in 3 years at Alabama as a kick returner, punt returner, had 733 punt return yards and 214 kick return yards. So he's not even a prolific for a guy that's got 4.39 speed. And that's what he, at his pro day, that's what he came in at, 4.39. Insane. That's a great speed. However, he also had a really great three cone, 6.88. That's eye-popping. That says that you can change direction. He's got 9 1/4 inch hands. That's not bad. He's measured at just under 6 foot tall at 193 pounds. That's decent. He's not a featherweight like some of these other guys. That's not a question mark. He had a great vertical at 39 and a half. He had a great broad jump at 136 inches. He's got a 6'2" and almost 6'3" wingspan, which, again, his measurables are not bad. However, he's not a true wide receiver. He did a lot of jet screens and bubble screens and all kinds of short gimmicky plays. When he wasn't running a route, he wasn't doing anything, just kind of like KD Cannon out of Baylor. When you take plays off, I'm sorry, that drives me crazy as a coach, as someone who used to coach in high school and middle school. You can do something. You, if especially with that speed, take the defensive back out of the play, run way down the field, you know, get him out of the play. And he wanted to block. There were many times he whiffed. He wasn't a great blocker. He seemed to be a willing blocker, and at times he would be pancaked and put on his butt. So even though he was in the right place several times, he wasn't that effective. And then sometimes he would whiff. I saw maybe 30 to 40% of the time where his blocking was actually effective. But a lot of times, if the play is coming to him, he'll just move out of the way and won't even try to block either. So, I mean, very inconsistent. And as a route runner, he did not run your traditional route tree. So even with the 4.39 speed, he wasn't running deep downfield most of the time. And so you see him at the Senior Bowl. Okay, you can learn how to run routes. Sure, I agree, you can. However, at the Senior Bowl, you watch all his one-on-one or one-on-air. There's three things that you need to be a good route runner, and especially that translates to the NFL. And it's not just speed. It's your acceleration and deceleration. If you've got to take three choppy steps or four or five choppy steps coming out of your break or going into your break, that's not going to cut it. And then if you only have one move and you're just trying to get by them with speed, that's not going to cut it. You've got to sell your routes. Selling your routes is so important, whether that means you make one fake with a quick jab step and then you throw your hips and shoulders out, you know, to get your defensive back and get your separation, Or if you're going, you know, if you're going to go deep, then you've got to fake like you're going to pull up for a, you know, a curl route or something and then go. But you cannot just try to beat them the same way every time, because NFL defensive backs are much, much smarter than college. Even though he played in the SEC, he did play some great competition. But so even at the Senior Bowl, he didn't show that he could sell his routes. And again, if you're going to learn how to be a good route runner, that's going to take an awful lot of time of his in the off season working with somebody to make that happen. I don't know what his mental makeup is. I don't know if he's got that work ethic. That's a question mark, but that's going to take time. You're not going to run routes and learn to run routes in the NFL. And this preseason will be a lot like last preseason. It's going to be shortened. So you're not going to have the rookie camp. You're not going to have, and he's going to have to spend his time learning a playbook. That's a lot of work just in and of itself. So yes, he could get on the field early in his career because of the kick return and punt return. He's a utility guy, so he may be used on reverses and sweeps and all of that. That's great. But how many touches realistically is he going to get to merit that first round rookie pick? And is he somebody that you can buy low next year?
Yes.
And I think that the answer is more likely, yes, you can buy him low next year if you like him. And he does have a skill set. But the late breakout, he's already 22 years old. He does have some skills. But there's guys like that. They're a dime a dozen. They don't all make it. And of everybody that's mentioned in the first round conversation, if he goes in front of Terrace Marshall, for example, I will jump at the gun. I will take Terrace Marshall 100%, or even Elijah Moore. I like Elijah Moore.
Absolutely.
Way better than Kadarius Toney. And Elijah Moore is a knucklehead.
You shot out of a cannon, Katie. I asked you one question so far, I know. You just shot out of a cannon. I love it. You so the one thing that I could not, I agree with a lot of what you said, but the one thing I could not agree with you more is, and I said this on last Rookie Fever, so I have the receipts, is this is a player that is going to be better for an NFL team than for your fantasy team. There is no doubt. This is one of those things, and there's enough red flags. His sophomore season with Florida, he was suspended for not living up to the Gator standard. I don't like that. I don't like taking plays off.
What standard do the Gators have, to be honest? I mean, the Gators are right there with LSU. They've got no standards. So if you can't even live up, honestly, if you can't even live up to the Florida Gator standards and you get suspended, that is a red flag.
So some of the excuses you'll hear for the late breakout age is that he couldn't stay healthy. That to me is another red flag, though. If you can't stay healthy in college, you certainly are not going to have an easy time staying healthy in the NFL. I think you nailed it. I think you let someone else draft him earlier than you're going to. And I think if you're still interested, in other words, if he landed on a team that gave him that rookie draft capital for another team, he's going to underwhelm. And he's already hated, so it's going to be hard. Hated meaning, you know what I'm saying, Twitter doesn't really love the guy. So I don't mean they hate Kadarius Toney as a person. You know what I all mean. Yes. But what I mean by that is, if that's already low, if there's already low, kind all a bad season is going to do for him is just plummet his value, because it's going to be validation for everyone who believed he wasn't going to be good. That validation is going to be something you can capitalize off of. You can get probably fairly cheap the very next year. This is a perfect candidate for somebody you should not draft in rookie drafts. You nailed almost every single point I wanted to hit about that. I'm going to fire you up even a little bit more. Fox Sports analyst Peter Schrager speculates that Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney could go in the top 15. The Athletic's NFL draft analyst Dan Brugler ranks Florida wide receiver Kadarius Toney as his fourth best wide receiver in the 2021 NFL draft. This is stuff that's out there.
They missed on Tavon Austin. And I mean, you can just go back in history. There's a lot of first round busts at wide receiver in the NFL. And part of that is, you know, again, he does have some electricity to him.
The versatility. Absolutely. The versatility.
And versatility. Yeah. But he does light it up. You can see that he's got some skills. But when you've got so many red flags of what's between the ears.
Yes.
And when you've got the late breakout age, and he doesn't really run real NFL routes. From the fantasy perspective, you've got to ask yourself, how many targets do you realistically think that he's going to get? He's not going to be that alpha X receiver. So he's going to have manufactured touches. Manufactured touches may get you a great game here and there. And if you're playing best ball, that's completely different.
Sure.
But I still think even in best ball, use your draft capital on somebody else and then buy Kadarius Toney next year, the year after, for much, much cheaper. I remember talking about Ronald Jones. Everybody was high on Ronald Jones. And I said, save your draft capital. He's not as good as where he's going in rookie drafts. And you can always buy him low. He's had a buy low window every year.
Every year. Yep.
Even now, he still can be bought low compared to, he was going 103 to 105, 106 range. He's never made it to that. And that's the other thing about Kadarius Toney. What you pay for him now, if you pay the 106 to 112 in that range in a non-super flex, when will he ever be that high?
Yeah.
Like, can you picture him getting higher than that? And I can't. Like, Jalen Reagor last year, for his skill set, should have been drafted in the mid first and was, but he had injuries and quarterback issues. That happens. But even without that, even with a perfect rookie season, I don't think that Kadarius Toney's price is going to escalate like a Justin Jefferson, like a DK Metcalf, like a Jamar Chase, you know, like some of those other guys. I mean, he can still have a decent season by all purposes, and you're still not going to get him at a higher price. I don't think you'd be able to sell him for more than what you bought him for.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like, in fantasy, we have this luxury to look at what the NFL does, to observe what they do, but don't take it so literally. Like, this is a player, like we said, that the NFL might really like for his versatility, for some of his measurables. I mean, depending on where you look, because obviously the pro day is a little off, but I have him running a 4.41 on his pro day. He had a 39.5-foot vert, 11.4 broad jump, which puts him in the 96th percentile for a burst score. I mean, those kind of things on paper are exciting, but again, they kind of just go to those gadgety claims that you were making where, I mean, he was a quarterback in high school. Like you had said, he was a running back slash wide receiver his freshman year and only started two games. It's really hard to see someone with this profile being worth a first round rookie pick, like in any of the first round, like 112. Like, I just don't
know. Yes, I
don't see it. And it's going to be because he was drafted in the first round of the NFL. That's going to be what we hear. The person who drafts him is going to say, he's going to jump out of his chair. He's drafted in the first round, you know, to defend himself.
Or if he goes to a wicked situation, like I said, New Orleans or Green Bay.
Yes.
And he's going to be
moved
up the board. He's going to be this year's Keyshawn Vaughn or, you know, insert name of player Darrell Henderson the year before. Yep. And I mean, there's always the one or two avoid guys. And I think that I've been saying it for months now, Mike, he's an avoid player for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did we determine when in rookie draft you're ready to go?
I said late second, early third in a super flex. And if it's a non-super flex, my key will be Dyami Brown.
Yeah.
I would take Dyami Brown before
me
him.
Me too. Yep.
And then I would take him over Tutu Atwell. I would take him over, some of the other, like, definitely over Eskridge and any of those other.
You got him the same place I do. Eventually he becomes appealing when you're looking at those names.
Right.
But he's not going to go before Brown for me. And it's funny you mentioned late second, early third, because when we did our, just the three of us, just Dave Swags and I, when we did our rookie mock, I had the 302 and I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm getting them now. Like this is too late for Tony. I'll take Tony now. There's nobody here that I'm interested in. This guy's going to have the draft capital. He has some of the measurables. I'll take the shot at 302 for God's sake. Like I'm fine with that. And I stood on that hill, you know, and I understand that, that has a not so great chance of panning out, but it's a 302. How many of your 302s have a great chance of panning out?
Exactly.
there comes a time where you got to call his name. And so let's just talk range of outcomes, ceiling and floor. Just if you had to guess, ceiling and floor. And I know it's totally landing spot dependent. And you mentioned the one, of course, that I was going to throw at you, which is Green Bay, because I think the Green Bay one would vault Kadarius Toney into an area where you and I would just vomit it, where you have to pick him. So just give him a good landing spot, ceiling and floor.
If he went to Green Bay or New Orleans, and if Jameis Winston is the quarterback, not Taysom Hill, then I could see that if he had a great, you know, preseason and everything and made it onto the field early. But again, as a rookie, I would say 650, 750 yards max rookie season. Maybe he's not a big touchdown guy, 2 to 3 touchdowns. I mean,
I could literally see the narrative building if Green Bay drafted him, because Green Bay has been taking these shots at wide receiver in late rounds, but Rodgers just hasn't had the chemistry with any single one of them. And I could see the whole, like, let's say Green Bay does it in the second, even they don't even go to the first, but either way, it doesn't really matter for me.
Right.
I could see the narrative building already that, you know, that it's just still Adams all day, that he just winds up being, because he's a rookie, just in the mix with the other wide receivers anyway. MVS, he winds up just being in that cluster of guys, like no better than any one of them, and just kind of in the mix, and they just wasted a first round pick. I don't see personally Green Bay doing that. If they would have done it, I think they would have done it last year. So I really don't see them doing it. Not with this player.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's realistic either. I'm just saying that if he were to go to a team like that.
Yeah, we're trying, right? We're trying to give him.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
All right. So here.
Kansas City would be another place I think people would go crazy about with Sammy Watkins gone. And, you know, he would be like Tyreek Hill part two.
I could hear it. I could hear it. And he'll be no better than Mecole Hardman.
Right.
Really won't.
Right.
And Mecole Hardman's been on that team for 2 years, so.
Right, exactly. And then I think they like DeMarcus, is it Robinson?
Yeah, they do. They signed him for another year. Yep.
Yeah, I think they like him. And yeah, even though he's one of those kind of guys, I think, kind of like a Kadarius Toney. Like, every now and again, you'll have one game here or there, and then you pick him up off waivers, and then you never hear from him again.
I like that you brought up Kansas City, though, because what Kansas City did in the offseason, two things that we've seen them do. One was very recent, which is shore up that offensive line.
Yep.
That's huge. Now that they've done that outside the draft, which I think was very astute and wise, I would not be surprised at all if they use decent draft capital on a wide receiver. They can afford the luxury pick now. And on top of it, they were shopping. They tried to get Juju. They were trying to get a very good wide receiver into that room. I could see them absolutely, whatever wide receiver winds up going there, you know, is going to go through the roof. I haven't speculated yet.
I hope it's Terrace Marshall.
Oh, wow.
that would be my, because he would be late first if they take him in the first.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I already love Marshall.
Yeah.
I love that.
Even if it's Elijah Moore, I could get on board with that landing spot for Elijah Moore.
I have Elijah Moore going to Tampa Bay. That was my speculation. I think it's a luxury pick that Tampa Bay can make, and I think he's different than the two wide receivers they have on there.
I'd actually like to see Rondale Moore in Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's not bad either. Who do you like more? Rondale Moore, probably, right? Everyone likes Rondale Moore more. I'm just a huge Elijah Moore fan. He's just going up. It seems like every single thing I read now has him going higher and higher. It's just reaffirming how I feel about him.
Yeah, no, I do like them both. I like Rondale Moore slightly more.
Okay.
But that could be draft capital, and that one could be a landing spot dependent.
Yeah. When you start splitting hairs like that, like if you like two players kind of commonly, I'm going to do one more Elijah Moore question. Elijah Moore. Wow. I cannot get him off my mind. I'm going to do one more. But it's blasphemy when I'm talking about Kadarius. One more Kadarius Toney question. And then just three more to get you out after that. Player comparison reaction. Percy Harvin. I don't make these up. I read them.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't make that player comp.
Okay. Why specifically? What's the biggest?
I think Harvin was a better overall.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That's exactly. They're comparing the versatility, speed.
Yeah, no, I get why they picked that, but it, you know.
All right, so I got three more on the way out. One of them's kind of a plug. Katie, what are you and UTH doing for the draft this year? You kind of alluded to towards the beginning about that. Tell us all about it.
This is our, I don't know, sixth or seventh annual, maybe even more. We do the live draft show on Thursday and Friday night, not for the weekend, but it's going to be Jordan, Chad, and myself. Tim is going to be actually at the draft this year, so he won't be able to join us, but we'll have a three-person crew. And we just, even during the defensive players, we'll be talking about, you know, the upcoming skill position that we think is going to be next. And you know, there sometimes will be defensive player after defensive player, but I still think that we'll have five quarterbacks, six or seven wide receivers, maybe one running back and one tight end. So there'll be plenty to talk about. And then day two, there's always, that'll be the interesting, where does the other two running backs and maybe even a third or fourth running back off the board, and more wide receivers and tight ends and maybe a couple more quarterbacks, who knows? But
I agree. 2019 was rough. It was just so much defense in 2019. It was like this, you're gonna have a ton to talk about right on the get with like three quarterbacks coming off the board guaranteed. One, two, three. So you're gonna be talking all about that, all about Superflex, all about, you know, hopefully a surprise, which is my next question. What QB is going third overall to the 49ers? Mel Kiper says he's leaning 70% Mac Jones, 20% Trey Lance, and still holding out 10% for Justin Fields. Who's going to the freaking 49ers?
Mac Jones.
Yeah, it seems like it doesn't seem like a smokescreen. It's just been too long, too much talk. It even kind of lines up a little bit for what San Francisco wants to do and how they run their offense. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of am on board with you, which then just kind of creates all kinds of fun for when you guys are covering this draft live, where when's Justin Fields going to go? Who's going to trade up to get him? Is Justin Fields going to go before Lance? Like, you would just assume he is, but, I mean, he's dropping out of the top three. Like, what's going on? Like, you guys are going to have so much fun going over it live. Swags. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you remember a couple years ago, Mitch Trubisky was number one.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson fell. Patrick Mahomes was in there. Lamar Jackson was the last of that round.
32.
And yeah, 32 overall. Baltimore traded up to get him. Just because you're first off the board or second off the board does not mean that you're going to stick in the NFL. There's really, the average is that only two of these quarterbacks are going to make it long term. And I bet you Trevor Lawrence is one of them. And I'm willing to bet that Justin Fields will be the other one. Those two, in my opinion, have the staying power. I think Trey Lance has tremendous upside. He's athletic. I mean, he's accurate. He's been playing in a pro style offense, making his own reads and stuff. Zach Wilson, I think, is going to be the biggest flop. That's in my opinion.
Okay. I was curious. I was going to ask
again,
you that
he's
question.
Got some tools. He's definitely toolsy, but I worry about what's between his ears. I don't think he's dumb. I'm not saying that he's dumb. I just think he makes bad decisions at times and is reckless at times. And will he mature from that? That's a really tough ask for somebody to get over. But Mac Jones, I think he's decent, but for fantasy purposes, he doesn't have that rushing upside. So even if he goes three overall to San Francisco, I'd rather have Justin Fields if he goes later to the Patriots. Let's say the Patriots only have to move up a few spots, but he sits 1 year behind Cam Newton and then he owns the team.
Yeah.
I'll take Justin Fields all day, even if I have to wait for it.
Yeah, I actually, we did landing spot predictions, Swags and I, last week, and I had Detroit with all of their needs trading down with the Patriots. Patriots trading up to that spot to get Fields. I'm not the only one. I've seen it in a couple places. It really makes sense. It's a big jump, and I don't know if New England has all the capital to make it happen. I think it's where are you guys picking? 15? 14?
15. But if he's dropping, and say he gets to 12.
Absolutely. In that area. Yeah, no doubt. All right, last question.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's funny. I'm so glad you gave me, you know, not all five of these quarterbacks are gonna hit. So I love that you gave us one that wasn't going to hit. Last question, and then I'll get you out of here. Three nice words that you can say about Kadarius Toney.
He plays football.
Oh, God, Katie, thank you so much. What a way to end this player profile series. He plays football. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, and anything else you have coming up that you might want to promote.
Absolutely. I am Katie Flower, the Diva of Devi. You can find me on Twitter at FF_Skylar399. Besides UTH under the helmet, I am on the Off the Rails podcast, which we're going to start to ramp things up and even do live video stream. So be on the lookout on my Twitter. I'll be tweeting and retweeting any of the other guest appearances and things. I've been on a lot of shows lately, talking Debbie, talking rookies, and I just appreciate talking football every chance that I can. So thank you so much for having me here, and hope your listeners enjoyed it.
Oh, I know they did. The whole Dynasty community appreciates you, Katie. I know that for a fact. I want to thank my co-host Swags at Swagzilla0G for bringing us profiles on Terrace Marshall, Rashad Bateman, Najee Harris, Pratt Firemuth, Michael Carter, Terry, Seth Williams, and many more, including his latest, which will drop this Monday with the Dynasty Madman. They hit Justin Fields, so make sure you catch that one. I also want to thank Spaceman himself, David Wright, for covering Tylan Wallace, Dami Brown, Trey Lance, Javian Hawkins, Amon St. Brown, just to name a few, and Katie. I would like to thank you. There is no better way we could have wrapped up this 2021 Rookie Player Profile Series than where it all started, where it all began early in February. Three profiles, four shows a week for 11 weeks, all started with you helping me with Chuba Hubbard. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I love finishing the Alpha and the Omega. I love it. I'm going to put that in your Twitter profile.
Thanks.
And I also want to thank our listeners from everyone at Rookie Fever. Thank you. We appreciate your feedback. Has been overwhelming and truly has made all this work that we put in worth it. For those of you who haven't made it to all of our profiles, please check those out. They're all on our feed. This one will make 32. This is the Rookie Fever podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review. Just take a couple minutes, please. I'm saying please like three times. And please don't forget to be awesome.